Chapter 15 Aggression and Related Ideas. Aggression. What is aggression? Aggression is defined in Taylor's social psychology as follows. Aggression, any action intended to hurt another person. This is a simple but fairly good definition. However, like most definitions, it is not perfect. For example, an experimenter might intentionally cause pain, which is certainly a form of hurting, to an experimental subject for the purpose of scientific study, which is certainly not aggression. A neurologist might try to inflict mild pain on a patient to assess the neurological response to pain, which is also not aggression. The intent and the specific motivation involved is an important component in defining aggression. The hurting must be done with a hostile intent to define it as aggression. Thus, I will define aggression in a more precise way in the following paragraph. Aggression is any behavior that is motivated by hostility and/or a desire to punish, and is intended to cause one or more of the following to one or more individuals: discomfort, emotional stress, pain, destruction of property, personal injury, death, etc. The word hostility is a primary component in the above definition. The hostility can be one of two types. The first type I am calling emotional hostility. People who are experiencing emotional hostility have an emotionally based urge to inflict some type of destruction, discomfort, or pain on another person. The urge is usually based on anger, hatred, revenge, fear, or some combination of these factors. This type of hostility is often seen when individuals get into arguments or fights. It is seen in the family and in street brawls. This type of hostility is also seen in animals when they angrily attack another living creature. The second type of hostility is non-emotional in nature. This type of hostility is often seen in war. The bomber pilot who drops bombs on a city might not feel any anger or emotional feelings associated with emotional hostility whatsoever. The bomber pilot may not have any emotional desire to hurt or kill the people that are about to be bombed. In fact, he or she might feel sorry for the people that are about to be injured or killed with the bombs. However, the pilot may have a strongly held intellectual belief that it is necessary to drop the bombs and injure and kill the enemy. I am calling this type of hostility, intellectual hostility. This type of hostility is also seen in animals when they kill another animal to eat. Another example is when human beings kill cows, pigs, chickens, and turkeys to eat. Thus, there are two very distinct types of hostility. One is emotional hostility and the other is intellectual hostility, according to the model that I am presenting in this text. A concept that is related to intellectual hostility is instrumental aggression. This type of aggression is aggressive behavior that is primarily carried out to achieve a goal. For example, the pilot dropping bombs on the enemy may be doing it because it is a well-paying job. Another example is a robber may mug people because he or she wants money. Thus, instrumental aggression is motivated by intellectual hostility. In many situations, there can be both intellectual and emotional hostilities motivating aggressive behavior. For example, one country may attack a neighboring country because it wants to obtain more land. In addition, there may be great hatred, emotional hostility toward the people of the country that is being attacked. The hatred may be the primary reason that the attacking country is willing to try to steal land from their neighbor. Aggression can be further subdivided into controlled aggression and uncontrolled aggression. Controlled aggression is defined here as aggressive behavior that is carried out with the intent to cause short-term discomfort. This type of aggression is not meant to cause serious harm or damage to the opponent. Generally, in controlled aggression, there is some concern for the well-being of the opponent. Controlled aggression is common in the family, amongst friends, especially amongst children, and amongst roommates. This type of aggression is even common between animals. It is especially common amongst both human and animal siblings. Controlled aggression in its mildest form is often a form of competitive playing, which can range from mild verbal aggression to playful but competitive wrestling. In its more severe form, controlled aggression can include caustic verbal remarks and physical combat intended to cause mild to moderate pain to the opponent, without any significant physiological damage. The second type of aggression, uncontrolled aggression, is meant to cause significant damage to the opponent, as the concept is defined here. This type of aggression is not controlled to minimize damage to the opponent. It is often controlled in such a way as to maximize damage. People or animals engaged in this type of aggression have little, if any, concern about the well-being of their opponent. This type of aggression can lead to significant damage to one or both opponents. This type of aggression can result in loss of blood, permanent physical damage to the body, or death. From the above paragraphs, it becomes apparent that there is aggression inflicted by an individual and aggression inflicted by larger social units, such as face-to-face groups, organizations, governments, and nations. I am calling these larger social units in this text groups for simplicity. Thus, there is a need to make further definitional distinctions of the term aggression. The first type of aggression is interpersonal aggression, which is being defined for this text as follows. Interpersonal aggression is any type of aggression carried out by an individual, such as a hostile argument between two friends, a mother spanking her child, a mugger robbing a pedestrian, one man getting into a personal conflict with another individual and murdering him, etc. The other type of aggression I am calling intergroup aggression, and I am defining it as follows. Intergroup aggression is any type of aggression carried out by one group against another, such as conflict leading to aggressive behavior between two organizations or two nations that are fighting a war against each other. The definitions in the preceding paragraphs delineate the concept of aggression in a very precise way. However, the definitions do not explain the causes of aggression. In the following paragraphs, I will discuss this aspect of aggression, starting with interpersonal aggression. What are the major causes of interpersonal aggression and violence in our society? The answer can be found in the following list. The socialization process. People in our society are socialized to some extent to be aggressive, under certain circumstances. Children are sometimes told to hit back if other children hit them. They learn that it is sometimes justified to act aggressively toward others. We learn that verbal behavior of an aggressive nature is acceptable, or semi-acceptable in many situations. We even learn that under some conditions, such as self-defense, it is proper to injure or kill another person. The basic learning and acceptance of aggressive behavior is facilitated to some degree by the mass media and the toys children play with. Of course, we also learn to control our aggressive feelings. Most of us learn that aggression is not tolerated or legal in many situations. Note a child is probably more likely to be taught to hit back an aggressive child, in certain subcultures in our society, such as the working class. In some subcultures, the child is likely to be told just the opposite. That is, not to hit back an aggressive child. In such environments, the proper action may be to report the aggressive actions to an adult authority figure, such as the teacher. This is generally considered proper behavior in most middle and upper class subcultures. However, one child reporting another child's aggressive behavior to an adult authority figure may be considered inappropriate ratting in certain working class subcultures. Adults, in such subcultures, may consider the child that rats as inadequate, because he or she is bothering adults to deal with matters that the child himself or herself supposed to be able to take care of with some counter-aggressive action. Of course, counter-aggressive action may be severely punished in many middle-class subcultures. The above obviously can cause very significant problems when a child is from a working-class home where self-defense is advocated and the child attends a school where the middle-class non-aggressive values are strictly enforced. End of note. Differential socialization. Everybody is not socialized in the same way. Some people learn and practice a very different set of controls and behavior in relation to aggression. Some people learn to be criminals, who attack people to obtain money, such as a mugger and a hitman. There are other individuals who learn to express their aggressive impulses by hitting the person that upset them. Some of these people may believe that they are disciplining the person they are hitting. Examples are a man who beats his wife and parents that severely hit their children. The failure of the socialization process. This is similar to the above. Some people do not learn to control their aggressive impulses. Most people in this category learn an appropriate control of their aggressive impulses under some conditions, but under other conditions they did not learn self-control. For example, Some people can control their aggressive feelings in public and on the job, but they did not learn to control their aggressive impulses in relation to their family. Sources of frustration that provoke anger. We live in a society that can be quite frustrating. People often are misjudged to some degree, which can result in being fired or receiving a low grade in school. There are people that are not able to deal with the complexities of our society, which can result in many frustrating experiences, including poverty and school failure. There are people who cannot find employment no matter how hard they try. People often reject other people, which can be quite frustrating. Often such rejection can be the result of factors that are beyond the control of the individual. An example is a man who loses his job and cannot find new employment because of the economic conditions of the economy. If the man is married, this can lead to family conflict and divorce. In addition to the above, there are many milder sources of frustration in our society, such as waiting for a bus that is late, waiting online for an excessively long time, dealing with electronic equipment that does not operate properly, etc. The perception of being attacked or abused by one or more individuals. Some people rightly or wrongly perceive themselves as being attacked at some level by other people in their environment, which can provoke them to act aggressively. There are individuals with misconceptions about others or who have diagnosed cases of mental illness who can misinterpret the daily interactions with others as aggression toward them. For example, some people may misinterpret the pushing that happens in a crowd. Such people may think that an individual in the crowd intentionally pushed them. This misinterpretation can lead the confused individual into some type of aggressive action, which can range from a verbal attack to a physical confrontation. Note the following five headings were taken from a discussion on page 434. Cultural highlight is the United States, the murdering society. In Taylor's social psychology, the headings are used in a slightly different manner in this list. The original discussion in Taylor's social psychology was dealing with the high murder rate in the United States. Specifically, the discussion pointed out that the United States has the dubious distinction of leading the world in murder rate. Taylor's discussion is based on a study conducted by Gardner, 1990. The discussion deals with the possible causes for the high murder rate in our country. The causes mentioned were essentially the following five headings. End of note. An uneven distribution of economic resources. We live in a society of people who are very rich and very poor, with the majority of the population somewhere in between these extremes. In many of our large cities, such as New York City, you can see a mansion with the wealthiest people as occupants. Outside the mansion, you might see a homeless person begging or sleeping on the street. The variations in economic conditions for the people in our society can be very frustrating, which can lead to aggressive behavior. For individuals that are dishonest, the economic variations may provoke criminal attacks to obtain money, such as mugging. The frustrations associated with the economic variations are greatly increased by the perception that some of the poverty is related to the discrimination of minority groups. Some of the aggressive people from these groups may lash out on any individual whom they perceive as an authority figure. The United States has a low level of social integration. Our society has many different types of people who speak different languages and are members of various ethnic groups. The divorce rate in our society is also quite high. These factors and many other factors that were mentioned cause disorder in both the individual and society in general. Such a disorderly state can lead certain individuals into acts of violence. More specifically, the disorderly state can interfere with all of the following: the socialization process, formal education, employment, which can lead to poverty, mental illness, as well as criminal activity. This can lead to acts of aggression. A relatively young population, younger people, from 15-29, have more energy and less experience in controlling aggressive impulses than older people. The younger people may be living in non-family situations, which may offer less of a controlling influence on aggressive behavior. Of course, most people in this age group are not particularly aggressive, but probably a higher percentage of people in this group are aggressive. This is especially true if they have certain types of mental disorders or if they have criminal tendencies. Officially sanctioned aggression and violence, such as war, violent police action, the death penalty, etc. Officially sanctioned aggression can probably facilitate interpersonal aggressive behavior of many individuals. This is probably especially true when it comes to war. People learn how to kill in the training provided by the military. In actual war situations, people practice killing. When these people return to civilian life, they are trained killers. Of course, most individuals in this category do not act aggressively in civilian life. However, a tiny percentage of former military personnel may attack civilians with the skills and emotional programming that they obtained in the military. The availability of guns. The availability of weapons makes it easy to kill or injure another person. Of course, almost anything can be used as a weapon, but the availability of guns makes killing or wounding another person easy. If a deranged person gets angry and he or she has a gun, serious aggressive acts can be performed with a pull on a trigger. The mass media. Does the mass media facilitate aggression? This is not really as easy to answer as it appears. There are some experts that believe the violence on television and the movies have little, if any, effect on interpersonal aggressive behavior. However, there are experts that believe just the opposite. Laboratory studies of the effect of violent films on viewers do not duplicate the long-term exposure to these films, which happens to people who watch these films. That is, studies are limited to a few weeks to a few hours, but in real-life situations people watch violent television programs and movies for many years. Some people start watching media violence in early childhood and continue throughout life. In addition, there are as many different personality types as there are people. It is very likely that people will respond in very different ways to media violence. Some people might learn to hate violence. Such people may even learn how to avoid violence by becoming more conscious of potential conflict situations and leaving the scene or diffusing the situation before aggressive feelings develop. And there are probably some people that develop the idea that violence or a milder form of aggression is an appropriate way of settling disputes. Some of these people may also learn how to commit violence. There is some evidence that at least a few crimes that happen were copies of violent scenarios presented in the mass media. Of course, there are probably many people that are not affected by the media violence one way or the other. But what do the studies say? The 1972 Surgeon General's Scientific Advisory Committee on Television and Social Behavior stated the following: there is a preliminary and tentative indication of a causal relation between viewing violence on television and aggressive behavior. An indication that any such causal relation operates only on some children who are predisposed to be aggressive. And an indication that it operates only in some environmental contexts. This study was criticized because some people who worked on it were employed by television networks. Another study found a relationship between media violence and aggressive behavior more substantial. This study was conducted by the National Institute of Mental Health in 1982, which is as follows: the consensus among most of the research community is that violence on television does lead to aggressive behavior by children and teenagers who watch the programs. A causal link between televised violence and aggressive behavior now seems obvious. This research was criticized because many of the scientists involved in the study were convinced, before the study started, that media violence increased aggressive behavior. This certainly could have affected the results of the study. But what is the most likely reality? The answer one arrives at is essentially a matter of opinion. I believe that certainly some people will behave more aggressively as a result of watching violent media presentations. I also believe that the violence on television and in the movies has a long-term influence on the attitudes that people have about violence in general. The media presents violent behavior to our society from early childhood throughout adult life. This probably affects our values to some extent. It probably makes most of us more willing to use and accept violence to some degree. We see the hero use violence, thus aggressive behavior may appear more acceptable than it would be otherwise. Of course, the movies are reinforcing the view our society has about violence. And at the same time, it is also convincing many of us that violence is not really so bad, that violence is sometimes quite okay. It is interesting to compare our attitudes toward media violence and our attitudes toward sexual behavior. It is more acceptable in our society to show the hero killing people than to show the hero making explicit love. This is especially true if children are watching. In this sense, our society appears to be more comfortable with killing than with sexual activity. This becomes especially obvious when we examine movies and television programs that were made primarily for children. We would see the cowboys killing people by the hundreds. These cowboys were often the good guys killing the Indians. In recent times, there may have been some change in media presentations specifically made for children. However, viewing violence, including mass murder, is still considered far more acceptable for children than viewing explicit lovemaking. Now I will discuss the factors that can cause intergroup aggression. However, it is necessary to remember the definition of intergroup aggression, which is aggression between the following face-to-face groups, organizations, nations, etc. The word group will be used to refer to all of the above in the discussion that follows for simplicity purposes, including nations. The discussion is presented in terms of factors that can cause intergroup aggression. Some of these factors can also cause interpersonal aggression, but they were not placed on the previous list to avoid repetition. When a factor applies to both interpersonal and intergroup aggression, the text will indicate the fact. The list of factors are presented below. The personality of the leader. SA group can get into conflict with other groups simply because of the personality of the leader. Some leaders have an aggressive militaristic attitude and are willing to take chances that relate to attacking other groups. This is sometimes seen in countries that get into war. However, often, but certainly not always, groups that have aggressive leaders have those leaders because the people have aggressive attitudes. This is discussed in the next item on this list. A buildup of aggressive attitudes of the members of one group toward the members of another group. This can also apply to interpersonal aggression when the buildup of aggressive attitudes relates to individuals. Often group conflict is the result of the attitudes of the members of the group, which can be quite hostile toward other groups. Such groups are likely to select a militaristic leader with an aggressive attitude toward the enemy group. This is, of course, very often seen in nations. A fear of being attacked by another group. This can also sometimes apply to interpersonal aggression, when two or more individuals are afraid that each other will attack. The fear of being attacked by another group can cause the members of the fearful group to attack first. Even if the fearful group does not attack first, it can provoke an attack by another group, if it openly prepares for an attack. For example, a fearful country that believes it will eventually be attacked by a neighboring country might increase its arms and military preparation. The increase in armaments of the fearful country can make the neighboring country fearful of attack. This may convince the neighboring country to attack first. Thus, fear of being attacked can sometimes be a self-fulfilling prophecy. Of course, sometimes the fear of being attacked is an accurate assessment, but in actual situations people really do not know if they will or will not be attacked. A scarcity of resources that are wanted by two or more groups. This is often one of the reasons nations get into war. The problem can be especially significant when both groups believe they have a legal or moral right to the resources. This is seen in the conflict between the Israelis and Arabs. Both sides believe they have a moral right to the same land area. Of course, there are situations where a more powerful group simply steals the resources from another group. This is discussed under the next heading. A difference in power between two groups that are competing for resources in our society. This usually does not apply to interpersonal aggression because there are legal and moral controls that prevent it. However, occasionally it might apply, under certain circumstances. A more powerful group may be inclined to find a reason to use its power in an aggressive way to obtain resources that other groups want. Often the more powerful group will find reasons to justify its action. This type of conflict often happens between nations, especially when there is a difference in industrial and educational level, which is discussed under the next heading. A difference in industrial and educational development between two groups. A higher level of industrial and educational development generally means more knowledge, money, and power. Groups in such situations often do not respect and empathize with groups that have a lower level of industrial development and education. This can easily result in conflict, especially if the more industrialized and educated group wants to obtain resources from the less industrialized group. An extreme example of this was seen in the United States with the slave trade that developed. This involved enslaving people from another nation. A lack of empathy in relation to members of another group. This can also apply to interpersonal aggression. Before this item is explained, it is necessary to present a definition of empathy. Empathy is defined in the Franklin Language Master LM 5000 Electronic Dictionary as the capacity for experiencing the feelings and thoughts of another. The capacity to feel the discomfort of another can prevent aggressive behavior. When this capacity is missing, there is a greater chance of aggression breaking out between groups. Empathy is often low or absent when there are significant differences of one or more of the following: educational level, level of industrialization, race, religion, and culture. Group members are more likely to empathize with groups that are similar to theirs. They are much less likely to empathize with groups that are different from theirs. Racial and/or ethnic differences. This can also apply to interpersonal aggression. These differences tend to reduce empathy as explained above. Human beings tend to understand and sympathize with people who are similar to them. Also, ethnic differences often relate to differences in language, customs, and culture, which can make understanding and settling conflicts more difficult. This can result in aggressive behavior between groups that differ in this way. Differences in religious beliefs. This can sometimes apply to interpersonal aggression also. Groups can get into conflict as a result of differences in religious beliefs and behavior stemming from those beliefs. In addition, people of a specific religion often tend to think of themselves as superior. This often means they see people who have different religious beliefs as more or less inferior. This attitude can make a group, especially a nation, less concerned and empathetic of other groups that have different religious beliefs. Thus, aggressive behavior may not be inhibited between such groups. If there is any conflict, aggressive behavior may manifest. Sometimes the aggressive behavior is actually caused by differences in the religious beliefs of two groups. An aggressive set of beliefs or philosophy. This can also apply to interpersonal aggression. Sometimes a group simply has a set of beliefs or philosophy that is quite aggressive in nature. Such groups may be quite willing to engage in aggressive behavior if there is any possibility of gaining something. And groups with aggressive beliefs and/or philosophy will most likely be willing to engage in aggressive behavior if there is even a small chance of losing something. The differences in beliefs and philosophy as far as aggression is concerned can be seen by comparing Sweden with the nations that got involved in World War II. Types of aggressive acts. There are many different types of aggressive behavior ranging from a spanking to war. In the following two lists, the various types of aggressive acts are listed. The acceptability of the act in relation to our society is also discussed. In the first list, there are acts that relate to interpersonal aggression. In the second list, there are acts that relate to intergroup aggression. The following list contains 10 acts that involve some type of interpersonal aggression. An exchange of verbal insults. This is quite common in our society, especially in the family and amongst acquaintances. People engaged in this type of aggression may not want to harm their opponent, so they use insulting verbal remarks. However, in certain conflicts, the insulting remarks are followed by some type of physical aggression, which is generally unacceptable according to the generally accepted norms of our society. In general, this type of aggression, verbal insults, can be considered totally unacceptable to mildly acceptable in our society. It may be considered acceptable when an authority figure scolds a subordinate. It will usually be considered unacceptable if the subordinate hurls insults at the authority figure. It is usually considered mildly unacceptable if two individuals of equal status engage in an exchange of verbal insults. A spanking. A spanking is probably the mildest form of physical aggression. This type of aggression has been a form of punishment used by parents on their children. In its mildest form, it may be considered acceptable in our society if the child was truly disobedient. In its more severe forms, it may be considered child abuse. Also, a spanking inflicted on an individual other than a child will generally be considered highly inappropriate. For example, a husband spanking his wife will generally be considered spouse abuse. A one-to-one fight with boxing and/or wrestling. This type of aggression is usually carried out by young males. It is generally considered quite inappropriate in middle-class society, unless it is performed under controlled conditions as a competitive sport. However, in some of the subcultures in our society, this type of aggression may be mildly acceptable, such as in certain segments of the working class. That is, if the boxing and/or wrestling is used for self-defense or if two males decide they want to fight each other, it might be considered acceptable in some segments of the working class. A mugging. This type of aggression is relatively common in many of our large cities. Of course, this type of aggression is never considered acceptable. Rape. This type of aggression comes in a number of forms. The most obvious form is a deviant stranger that attacks a woman. However, most rapes are of a different category. Probably the most common form is date rape, where a dating partner commits the crime. Some forms of date rape are obviously rapes, where the man knowingly forces a woman to have sex. A more common type of date rape is the result of confusion that men and women have about courtship behavior. The major problem with date rape is that in many cases the man does not really know that he is committing a crime. The macho thinking of some men is that a little persuasive force is okay, and no does not necessarily mean no when a woman says it in relation to sex. Most men are probably more likely to think in such terms if the woman initiated or accepted some sexual activity, such as kissing, which can certainly be thought of or misunderstood as a sequence leading to sexual intercourse. If the woman was in fact willing and wanted to be persuaded with a little force, as many men believe, the macho behavior described above might be an acceptable courtship ritual. Some women might see such a ritual as acceptable with certain men that they want to be sexually involved with. However, if the woman does not think in such terms, a little persuasive force is indeed the criminal act of rape. Rapists of this type may strongly deny that they raped their date, because they did not know they were doing so. They thought they were involved in an acceptable courtship ritual. What makes this type of problem so complicated is that at an earlier point in time there may have been more women who considered the aggressive macho behavior as an acceptable or semi-acceptable courtship ritual. A knife fight. Of course, this type of aggression is almost never considered acceptable in our society. Perhaps under unusual conditions one person in such a fight might be considered in a self-defense situation. A gun fight. Of course, this is also generally considered unacceptable, but when police engage in such fights it is usually considered acceptable by most people in our society. The use of a gun may also be considered acceptable under certain self-defense situations. Murder. This, of course, is the most severe type of interpersonal aggression, which is not considered acceptable unless it was done in self-defense. The following list contains examples of aggressive acts that relate to intergroup aggression. A gang fight. This is, of course, not considered acceptable in our society. Gang fighters will be prosecuted if they are captured by the police, regardless of whether or not they had a legitimate grievance. Civilized society does not tolerate wars between groups of its citizens. The action of the police against organized crime. This is considered highly acceptable by most people in our society. War between nations. War is considered a bad situation by most nations. However, it is in a certain sense considered highly acceptable, which is probably one of the major reasons there are so many wars. It is considered highly honorable to fight in a war. Even if the nation you were fighting for lost the war, it is still considered fairly honorable. If we compare the attitude toward war and gang fights, we can gain some interesting insights. When individuals engage in gang fighting, they will be condemned by society, regardless of whether they win or lose. Gang fighters will even be condemned if they had a legitimate grievance against the competing gang. All involved in a gang fight may receive severe jail sentences after the gang fight is over. Contrast this with war. After the war is over, all concerned are more or less considered heroes. They may receive financial rewards in the form of education, pensions, or reparations. This is a major reason for war. It is really an acceptable form of aggression as far as most of society is concerned.